Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On this evening's show, we're going to pose some questions, pick some daisies, and celebrate a couple of birthdays, the first of which is that of sex therapist, author, and TV celebrity, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, who was born this past week on June 4th, 1928, in Germany. She studied psychology at the Sorbonne in Paris and immigrated to the U.S. in 1956, where she received a master's in sociology and a doctorate in education from Columbia. Her television show has been syndicated internationally. So here, in honor of Dr. Ruth, are some love songs, starting off with the original Dixieland Jazz Band. Thank you.
to get. Who has begotten yet? So listen, each lovesick soul. A new to new. If you have someone who appeals a lot to you, there's one thing you might as well know. I'll tell you. You gotta know how to love them. Well, do. You gotta know what to do. Do. You gotta know how to gaze in their eyes. Sigh, little sigh. Lie, little lie. Do. You gotta know what to tell them. Well, do. Whenever there's a beautiful moon above
their mountains.
They're bound to fall, and all they need is a show.
You gotta know
how to love.
Columbus took a chance, but I'd take a chance as long as there's a moon up above. But honey, I don't want to make history, I just want to make love. Before you took a chance, but when I think of France, it's Josephine that I'm thinking of. Cause I don't want to make any history, I just want to make love. Now we all can't be heroes, we all can't be great. Right now I'll settle for a love affair and the Dickens with the purple stays. Oh, I hear a call to Mars for sentimental lovers. My banner is the moon up above the bay. Cause I don't like history, I love my love.
Thank you.
Some songs to commemorate the birthday of sex therapist Dr. Ruth. We started off with Look at 'em Doing It, the original Dixieland jazz band recording in Britain on May 19, 1919. Then it was Irving Aronson and his Commanders and You Gotta Know How to Love. I suppose Dr. Ruth could help with that. You Gotta Know How to Love was written by Bud Green and Harry Warren and recorded by Victor on May 13, 1926 in New York. Irving Aronson was born on February 7, 1895 in New York. He began his professional career at age 11, playing piano for silent movies. In the mid-20s, he formed a jazz band called the Crusaders. The name was soon changed, though, to the Commanders, and the band made their first recording in 1926. Members of the band in the late 20s included Gene Krupa, Artie Shaw, Claude Thornhill, Tony Pastor, Jack Armstrong, and Chummy McGregor, who would later become Glenn Miller's pianist. In 1928, the band appeared in Cole Porter's Broadway show Paris. Bing Crosby used the Commanders as his backing band on four songs he recorded from the movie She Loves Me Not, and one of those songs, Love in Bloom, became a number one record. In 1952, Aronson became a musical supervisor for MGM Studios, where he remained until his death in Hollywood on May 10, 1963. After Irving Aronson, we heard from Hezekiah Leroy Gordon Stuff Smith and his Onyx Club Boys and I Don't Want to Make History, I Just Want to Make Love, written by Leo Robin and Ralph Ranger from a Vocalion 78 recorded in New York on March 13, 1936. And we finished up with Sleepy Hall and His Collegians, actually Gene Cardos and Old Fashioned Love from 1932. And you heard it all on Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm Glenn Robison. We'll return with the high-headed tragedian of song right after this. Last week, June 6th, marked the birth in 1891 in Circleville, Ohio, of Ted Lewis. Lewis was already an experienced performer in vaudeville when he got his start with Earl Fuller's famous jazz band in 1917. He formed his own band in 1919, and within a few years, he was one of the most popular entertainers in the U.S. He made many appearances on radio, records, and in several Broadway revues, including Greenwich Village Follies, Ziegfeld Midnight Frolics, Ted Lewis Frolic, and Artists and Models in 1927. In 1925, he visited Britain, appearing at London's Kit Kat Club and at the Hippodrome Theatre. The singing of his catchphrase, "Is everybody happy?" was used frequently. Although his own clarinet playing was not generally considered great, Ted Lewis employed many fine members of the jazz world in his bands, among them Jimmy Dorsey, Jack Teagarden, and Benny Goodman. Lewis co-wrote several popular songs, including When My Baby Smiles at Me, While We Dance Till Dawn, Bee's Knees, and Is Everybody Happy Now? After 1929, he also appeared in several films, Is Everybody Happy, Show of Shows, Here Comes the Band, Manhattan Merry-Go-Round, Hold That Ghost, Is Everybody Happy, and Follow the Boys in 1944. Lewis continued to appear in theaters and on television well into the 1960s. Ted Lewis died August 25, 1971, in New York. Here's Ted Lewis.
Thank you. fiddle and the cow jumped over the moon. Now how in the divil can a cat and a fiddle and a cow jump over the moon? But just like the kid, I start to groom Mother Goose's favorite little tune. The cow and the fiddle with a cat in the middle. Oh, say, cut it out. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down. My fair woman, go forth and kiss your lover. Go forth and kiss your lover. Go forth and kiss your lover. Oi, 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 oi. Water, water, wildflower, growing up so high. Yoo-hoo. Water, water, wildflower, woo. Gee, well, I am dry. Little girls, little boys, woo. Be good and kind to fairy.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce myself. I am Dr. Lewis, WFD. You want to know what WFD stands for? World's Famous Dispenser. Dispenser of what, sodas? No, no, no. I'm a dispenser of the greatest thing in the world, ladies and gentlemen, sunshine and happiness. Now, 5 years ago, I guess it was six. No, it was seven, wasn't it, boys?
Eight.
9 years ago, I made this very wonderful discovery, and it's that discovery that I'm bringing here to you folks tonight. Why, one swallow of this famous remedy of mine is known to brace up, cheer up, perk up, and pep up. And a whole bottle is known to turn a crabby old mother-in-law into a laughing hyena. And to show you folks that I'm on the level, I'm going to tell you the recipe of this famous discovery. Now, to a day that's long, you just add a little song, and what do you get, folks? What do you get? You get my homemade sunshine. And to a weary trial, oh, say, you add a little smile. That's how I make my homemade sunshine. You mix a little hope and laughter with philosophy, and you add just a spice of make-believing to this recipe. Now that's part of the bill of fare that we all must share to get this wonderful discovery of homemade sunshine. And to the moon above, you add just a little love. Oh, say, that'll give you homemade sunshine. And to a night in June, you just add that wedding tune. And what do you get? Homemade sunshine, Dr. Lewis's famous remedy, folks. And when the womb is at your door, here's how to chase the blues. Why, you turn that womb into a stork, and you spread the happy news. And when those neighbors call, why, you just introduce them all. Oh, do that sweet little homemade sunshine. Yes, sir.
in Peoria right tonight. Oh gee, I miss the girls in Peoria tonight. Oh gee, you can pick, always pick a morning glory right off the sidewalk of sweet Peoria. Oh, how I wish I was in Peoria. Oh, Peoria, right tonight.
W.C. Fields reportedly wanted his gravestone to bear the epitaph, "On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia." Well, apparently Ted Lewis would rather be in Peoria, at least on December 28, 1925, when "I Wish I Were in Peoria" was recorded. Before that, we heard "The Medicine Man for the Blues" and "Homemade Sunshine," written by Sammy Fain, Pierre Connor, and Irving Cahal, and waxed October 3, 1930. "Homemade Sunshine" was preceded by "Hi Diddle Diddle" from June 2, 1926, and we started off with "Rhythm," Ted Lewis and his orchestra, on June 2, 1933. My name is Glenn Robison, and the name of the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. Your requests and comments are welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GlennRobison, or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. You're also invited to stop by the website, rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. We're going to pose some musical questions when we return, right after this. The public's fascination with quiz and game shows, evidenced by the popularity of shows such as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and The Weakest Link, is nothing new. On June 7, 1955, the $64,000 Question, a summer replacement show with host Hal March, premiered and became the most watched and talked about program on TV. Contestants had to answer 10 questions correctly, beginning at $64 and doubling the amount with each correct answer upward to the $4,000 category. Getting that far got you a return trip to the show the following week. Unlike on The Weakest Link, where you can walk away with nothing, the consolation prize for an incorrect answer after reaching the $8,000 plateau on the $64,000 question was a new Cadillac. At the $8,000 level, you went into the Revlon isolation booth, where correct answers would take you from $8 to $16 to $32 and finally to $64,000. An expert was permitted to accompany the contestant at the $64,000 mark. Sounds kind of like a lifeline to me. If neither of them could answer the question correctly, the contestant received a consolation prize of $4,000. Questions were compiled by Dr. Bergen Evans. One of the first contestants to win $64,000 was Billy Pearson, a jockey with extensive knowledge of art. A Bronx shoemaker, Gino Prato, tapped his knowledge of opera to win $32,000. And psychologist Joyce Brothers' career as a media personality was made possible by her appearance. The biggest winner was 11-year-old Robert Strom, who won $192,000 through new plateaus and spin-off shows. The $64,000 question ended on November 2, 1958, amid the quiz show rigging scandal. So here, in commemoration of the $64,000 question, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and The Weakest Link, are some musical questions, the first posed by the original Memphis Five. Thank you.
Happen today. Now there comes a sound without any warning. I just know it's good luck coming my way. Goodness gracious, can it be? Someone's coming back to me. Who's that knocking at my door? I've been waiting oh so long. I'll just die if I'm wrong. Who's that knocking at my door? I know it can't be the mailman, the coal man, the ice man. They've been here today. Can't be the grocer, the butcher, the baker. They don't knock that way. If my sweetie's there outside, my arms and my heart are open wide. Who's that knocking at my door? Like a familiar knock. Who's that knocking at my door? I know it can't be the milkman, the gas man, the bread man who always collects. I hope that it isn't that butter and egg man who writes out those checks. If it's my sweet used to be, gonna lock him in, lose the key. Who's that knocking at my door?
Thank you. another human so unkind? Didn't you sneak away and leave a note behind? Was that the human thing to do? Always thought that you're such a heart of gold, but after I was sold and all those tales you told, didn't you let your kids turn from hot to cold? Was that the human thing to do? Now I'm not trying to patch things up. What's been done must be. Oh Lord, I wouldn't even treat a pup the way you treated me. How could anybody be so darn unfair? You let me hang around until I learned to care. Didn't you even laugh or leave me crying there? Was that the human thing to do?
I don't know how many of those musical questions got answered correctly, but we started off with the original Memphis Five asking, "How come you do me like you do?" The original Memphis Five was founded in 1917 by Phil Napoleon and Frank Signorelli after they had played together in dance bands at New York's Coney Island. The original Memphis Five recorded under a variety of other names, including Ladd's Black Aces, Jazzbo's Carolina Serenaders, Bailey's Lucky Seven, the Southland Six, and the Cotton Pickers. Red Nichols and Miff Mole and Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey also played in the band from time to time. Despite the name Original Memphis Five, none of the band members was from Memphis, or even the South for that matter. The band was named after W.C. Handy's song Memphis Blues. How Come You Do Me Like You Do was from a Brunswick 78, recorded August 16, 1927. After the Memphis Five, we heard from Annette Hanshaw asking, "Who's that knocking at my door?" from September 8, 1927. Hanshaw was billed as the Personality Girl and recorded under a number of pseudonyms, including Ethel Bingham, Dot Dare, Gay Ellis, Marion Lee, Janet Shaw, Lilia Sanford, and Patsy Young. Annette Hanshaw left show business in 1935 at just 24 years of age. Then Margaret Lawrence asked, "Was that the human thing to do?" Margaret Lawrence was backed there by Jimmy Greer and his orchestra. Jimmy Greer was born in Pittsburgh on March 17, 1902. He played alto and tenor sax, clarinet, and bassoon, but was primarily an arranger. Greer was arranger for Gus Arnheim during his tenure at the Coconut Grove, which began in 1927. In 1932, when Arnheim moved on, Jimmy Greer took over as leader of the band, but continued to write most of the arrangements. Greer led the band for only a few months, and in the fall of 1932, Phil Harris took over. Greer went to Los Angeles Rainbow Gardens, and then to the Biltmore Bowl, where he remained for 5 years. That same year, 1933, Greer began making records for Brunswick, backing Bing Crosby, Dick Powell, Russ Colombo, the Boswell Sisters, as well as recording under his own name. In the 1950s, Jimmy Greer left the band business and went into real estate. He died of liver disease on June 4, 1959. And we wrapped up that musical quiz set of songs with two questions, actually. Dylan White with Jack Gardner's orchestra, and Who? You? Written by Jack Gardner and recorded by OK in Dallas in September of 1924. Jack Gardner was born in Canada in 1886 and emigrated to the U.S. in 1890, becoming a citizen in 1896. Just a couple more questions. What's the name of this show? Correct! Rapidly Rotating Records. And the bonus question, what's my name? Glenn Robison. Correct! Again. We'll be back to pick some musical flowers when we return right after this. Goodbye. Last week, June 7th, marked the birth in 1909 of Jessica Tandy. Born in London, Tandy studied drama at the Ben Greet Academy of Acting. She was 16 when she made her first professional stage debut in London, and just 21 when she first appeared on Broadway. In 1932, Tandy made her first film appearance in The Indiscretions of Eve. At age 81, she won an Oscar for her performance as a Southern lady who befriends her black chauffeur in Driving Miss Daisy. Jessica Tandy died of ovarian cancer in 1994. So here, in commemoration of Jessica Tandy and her Oscar for Driving Miss Daisy, are some songs about daisies, starting off with the Hi-Hatters.
I guess that I But say, oh pal, you ought to meet her every evening in the moonlight down by the old mill stream. Why, if you dream and I'm dreaming, you know what I mean. I'm falling, and I don't need a child, because I'm knee deep in daisies and head over heels in love.
That is all for this edition of Rapidly Rotating Records. We wrapped up this segment with some Daisy songs to commemorate the birth of Jessica Tandy. We started off with You've Got Me Picking Petals Off of Daisies, the Hi-Hatters from October 9th, 1929. And that was followed by George Olson and his music from August 21st, 1925, and I'm Knee Deep in Daisies. And we finished up with Telling It to the Daisies, Annette Hanshaw and her Sizzling Syncopators from 1930. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm Glenn Robison, inviting you to tune in or click in again next week for more rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. Next week will be our special Father's Day show. We'll have songs about fathers, daddies, papas, and even a grandpa or two. I hope you'll be listening. In the meantime, I hope you'll send your requests and comments about the show to me. You can do so either by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GlennRobison, or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. Until next time, I do thank you for your very kind attention.